Dear friend, take your Bibles and open to John chapter 6 today, where we will find His good word for us today. John chapter 6, we've been here for a while. We've been talking about this, studying it, and opening the word for all of us to hear and understand. The whole of chapter 6, all 71 verses, recounts a meeting, a dialogue, a conversation between Jesus and the crowd, those in the crowd. Those in the crowd asking Him questions, and Jesus responding to those questions and telling them who He is, why He is here, and what they need to do in order to have eternal life. For example, He says, "As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who takes of me, he who eats of me, and drinks of my blood, has eternal life." And He says, "I shall raise him up on the last day." Jesus states, "I am the bread of life." Here, He states, "I am the living water." And of course, as John points out, He is the light of the world in the very first chapter of the Gospel of John. John reveals Jesus to us. He is specifically writing to his Jewish brethren, and he's using seven signs to attest to who Jesus is, to prove in his mind, in his heart, and prove to those who will read and openly read and study his gospel message. The seven signs are designed by John and by the Holy Spirit, first of all, to persuade the Jewish people that this is the Christ, this is the promised one, this is the Messiah, this is the only begotten Son of God the Father. God gave him. John 3:16 states that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, today we're going to spend one more session, at least that's my plan right now, to spend one more session here in John chapter 6 before we move on to John chapter 7. Now, in John's gospel, we study John chapter 5, and that took place at the end, or at the second Passover, or just after the second Passover. In verse 6, for example, or chapter 6, as we started at verse 4, "Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand." And actually, when we go on to chapter 7, we're talking about a feast of booths, chapter 7, verse 2. Those are 6 months apart. So the interval of time between John chapter 6 and John chapter 7 is 6 months. Now, of course, Jesus did a lot in those 6 months. As John writes near the end of his gospel, he says, "If I tried to write all that Jesus did and all that Jesus said and all the miracles performed, even the books themselves of the world could not contain them," he says. So it's not John's purpose to give a day-by-day, moment-by-moment account of Jesus' life. John is focusing on these seven events, these seven signs, the perfect number of seven, to show his Jewish brethren that this is the Christ. He goes from the turning of water into wine at the Feast of Canaan, or the wedding of Cana, to the raising of Lazarus from the dead, this being the seventh sign that John presents to us. Now here, as we wrap up chapter 6 today of John, we find, of course, Jesus having said that, "I am the living bread," verse 47 of chapter 6, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life." Verse 48, "I am the bread of life." Verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven." And he over and over again states who he is and why he came. In verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of the Father who sent me." So Jesus clearly states who he is, the Son of God. He says, I and the Father are one. I came not to do my own will, but I came to do the will of my Father. And he is testifying of himself. Now, as we begin the close of this chapter, let's start reading with verse 64. But there are some of you, Jesus says, who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. Now this is being said after Jesus has made what appear on the surface to be some very hard sayings. For example, verse 50, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Verse 54, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Now, Jesus is speaking symbolically. Jesus is speaking spiritual truths that need to be spiritually understood and not just physically interpreted. And that's what these many in the crowd were doing. Now, they looked at this as a hard saying. You know, this is a cannibalistic kind of talk, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Now, again, Jesus was speaking symbolically. We must take Jesus into us in order to be saved. We must be in Jesus in order to abide in him, in order to be saved. Our salvation is found in him. Eternal life is found in him. All things are found in Christ, not from Christ, but in Christ. We obtain eternal life by being in Christ Jesus. All things are hidden in Christ, remember. All that we need is in Christ Jesus. We find it in him. And again, in John chapter 15, Jesus points out to us that he's the true vine, we're the branches, and we must abide in him in order to bear fruit. That's the truth that we must not overlook. We must not let it escape us. So Jesus is speaking symbolically here. He's speaking in spiritual language. Those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, Jesus said in John chapter 4, remember, to the woman at the well. God is spirit, he said, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So spiritual food must be, or spiritual words must be, spiritually understood. In fact, Paul says this to the members of the Corinthian church. In the early part of 1 Corinthians, Paul points out that spiritual truths must be spiritually discerned, must be spiritually understood. So, my friend, we must open our spirit to God. Remember that in John chapter 8, verses 15, 16, and 17, we're told that the one who walks by the Spirit is the Son of God, and the one who is the Son of God has the Holy Spirit within him, bearing witness with his human spirit that he is a child of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness to us, to our spirit, that we are the sons of God. So spiritual truths must be spiritually understood. But many in the crowd were simply hearing these as physical words and interpreting them as physical words. Now, there are those today who still do this. There are those today who think that as you are taking the wine and the bread, observing the communion of our Lord, that somehow miraculously this wine in this cup turns to the blood of Jesus, and this bread that you're eating turns into the flesh of Jesus. Now, that's not true, my friend. There's nothing in the Word that points to that. This is a spiritual saying which must be spiritually understood. But because many of them could not go beyond the physical, many in the crowd could not hear in the spirit, then they left him. And we find this in verse 65. And he was saying, for this reason I've said to you that no one can come to me unless the Father has granted it to him. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Now, notice the word many here, not a few left. Many left. The disciples were weeded out considerably by this teaching of Jesus about his body and his blood. Now, they were hearing it physically, remember, and they were saying, I don't want any part of this. So they left him, and they left him because they were not of him. 1 John chapter 2, for example, will point out to us that they went out from him because they were not of him. Let's turn there just a moment. 1 John, the little letter of 1 John chapter 2, let me just share with you verses 18 through 20. Listen carefully. John is saying, children, it is the last hour. Now, he's addressing the church. Now, John's the elder here. He's in his early 90s at least. And John is the kind of the father, the spiritual father. He's the last living apostle at this time. So at the church at Ephesus, he was the pastor at that point in time. John would be literally brought out on a stretcher, and this stretcher would be laid down, and John would be propped up in a semi-reclining position, and he would teach and preach in his last days to those that he called my children, my little children, he said. And he's addressing his brothers and sisters actually in Christ in this way. He says, children, it is the last hour, and just as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many, many Antichrist have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour. Now listen to verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they are all not of us. Now that's, if you break that statement down, John is simply saying that they left because they were not really true Christians. They were not really true believers. You see, Jesus himself said here in John chapter 6 that many of you are following me because you ate. You got your bellies full. You coming back to see if you can get another meal. You got something from me. Therefore, you are trying to see if you can get something else. Now, there are many reasons, you see, for following, at least temporarily, Christ. But those that are truly in Christ, those that have truly believed Christ and received him and partaken of him, drunk of the living water that is Christ, will not leave him. They will not go out from him because they're true believers. Now, again, John points out in his letter, his first letter to the church, chapter 2, that those who went out from us were not of us. They were not true believers. Now, Jesus is pointing this out in verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew, and they were not walking with him anymore. And Jesus knew, of course, who it was. Down in verse 70, Jesus answered them and said, did I not myself choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? He knows what's in our heart, my friend. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're going to do. Jesus is omnipotent. Jesus is omniscient, all-powerful and all-knowing. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing is hidden from Christ, my friend. We need to understand that. So Jesus knew when he was saying these words that the result would be that many would leave. He knew that before he spoke these words that seemed to be so hard here in John chapter 6. Now, why did they go from him? Because they were not true disciples. They were following for some other reason. They were wanting to get another meal, or they were wanting to get a healing, or they were wanting to get something. Or maybe they were just curious and were following. You see, a disciple is a follower. So anyone who was following Jesus would have been referred to as a disciple. Now, that's as opposed to the apostles who were the chosen 12 of Jesus, of course. Now, as a result of this, many left him. Men didn't follow him anymore. We're told that they went away and they didn't come back. Many, it says in verse 66 of chapter 6 of John. Jesus therefore said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" In other words, are you also going to leave me? That's what Jesus is asking here. And Peter responds. Peter again is a spokesperson, and later, after Jesus ascends to heaven and they are imbued with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, Peter is still the spokesperson. He is the main apostle of the 12 apostles. So Peter is speaking up here and answering for himself and perhaps for the rest of the apostles. But Peter responds in a wonderful way. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So this is a proclamation. Now he continues in verse 69, "And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Notice Peter's declaration here. "We have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And that's a good declaration, isn't it, from Peter. Now we see another declaration from Peter back in Matthew chapter 16, I believe it is. Yes, chapter 16 of Matthew, and beginning with verse 13, let me just read a few verses. "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?'" In other words, who are people saying that I am? "And they said, 'Well, some say you're John the Baptist, and there are others who say you're Elijah. Still others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' And Jesus said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" And again, it's Simon Peter who answers. "And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" God the Father revealed to Peter that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now here in John chapter 6, Peter declares that you are the Holy One of God. Verse 69. Now, just as an aside here, we've been looking at the testimony of many different witnesses. Remember, we've gone back to the Old Testament, and we saw the testimony of God Himself first in Genesis chapter 3, that the Messiah would come. We've heard the voices of prophets throughout the Old Testament proclaiming that the Messiah will come. And we find also in the New Testament, of course, the announcement of the coming of Jesus by the angel Gabriel to Mary and in a dream to Joseph. We find the pronouncement after the birth of Jesus of the angels to the shepherds, for example, the star to the wise men, all leading to Jesus, all pointing to Jesus, all testifying of Jesus. On the eighth day after his birth in the temple to be circumcised, we find Simeon the prophet taking him in his arms and raising him up and saying, "Mine eyes have seen the salvation of my people Israel," and proclaiming that this is the promised Messiah. Anna comes up, the prophetess, and she also declares that this is the promised one, the Christ, the Messiah, the Yeshua, coming to save his people. And we see the testimony of the Holy Spirit at the baptism of Jesus. We hear the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." We've seen many of the apostles testifying of Jesus. Peter here, for example, testifying of Jesus as to who he is. We've heard Jesus now in John here, in the first six chapters of John, proclaiming that I am sent from heaven. I'm the only begotten Son of the Father. I and the Father are one. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the light of the world. I am the living bread. I am the living water. Plenty of testimony. Now, I want to take just a moment to show you something, just as an aside here, that there are demons who testify of Jesus Christ and testify as to who he is. Now, turn with me to Mark chapter 1 for just a moment, and I won't spend a lot of time here, but I want to show you something. Jesus is encountering the demons, and in verse 22 of Mark chapter 1, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as the scribes. And just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Now, it is the spirit that's crying out, the unclean spirit, the demon, saying, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth, for you come to destroy us? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." Now, this is the demon talking. Jesus is addressing the demon. "Be quiet and come out of him. Come out of this person," he's saying. Now, this was a demon that was in the synagogue, in this person. And it's the demon that's speaking through the person. And he's saying, "What do we have to do with you?" In other words, we don't have anything to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth. "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, here is a demon in Mark chapter 1, verse 24. A demon testifying who Jesus is, that you are the Holy One of God. My goodness, as Romans chapter 1 says, all creation testifies of God. And we have so much here testifying of Jesus and testifying as to who Jesus really is. So Peter here, for the second time, makes the declaration that you are the one who has the words of eternal life. In verse 69, "And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Now, there's no doubt in that statement, is there? We have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Now, the Holy One, it's interesting that Peter uses the same terminology as the demon uses in Mark chapter 1, verse 24. You are the Holy One from God. You have the words of eternal life. So Peter is saying, my goodness, we don't have anybody else to go to. You have the words of eternal life, Jesus. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. What a testimony here as to who Jesus really is. Now, Jesus continues, and we'll conclude this last two verses here of chapter 6. Jesus answered them, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" Now, he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, that is Judas, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Now, Jesus knew who Simon was when he chose him. He chose him with the full knowledge that he was not a true disciple, not a true apostle. In fact, he chose him knowing that he was the one who would betray him, the one who was of the devil, in other words, to betray him. But this was part of God's plan, you see. For Jesus explained, "I came into the world to go to the cross, to be the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world." That's what John pronounced, do you remember? John the Baptist, when he looked up and beheld Jesus walking toward him, coming, in fact, to be baptized of John in the River Jordan to begin his earthly ministry, John proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God the perfect sacrifice promised, beginning with Genesis chapter 3. Promised throughout the Old Testament, all of it. Promised by numerous prophets. Proclaimed by the angels. Proclaimed by God Himself. Proclaimed by the Holy Spirit. Proclaimed by followers. Proclaimed even by demons, as to be the Holy One of God. Now, there's so much evidence that we have talked about of who Jesus is. We've seen evidence of even demons. We've seen evidence of angels. We've heard the voice of God. We've seen the Holy Spirit descending upon Him as a dove. We've heard the voice of angels. We've heard the voice of the prophets. We've heard the voice of Simeon, the prophet in the temple, Anna, the prophetess in the temple. We've heard the voice of Peter proclaiming, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Oh, my friend, we've seen the signs. We've seen the miracles. We've seen the supernatural working of Jesus numerous times. Is there any doubt? Is there any doubt in your mind but what this is the Christ, the Son of God? Is there any doubt but what He is the bread of life, He is the living water, He is the light of the world, He is the one in whom salvation is found? As Jesus Himself said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the living way," He said. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father unless he comes through me." We must come through Jesus Christ. Remember, salvation is found in Him, found in Christ Jesus. All good things come from God, including salvation. All things are found in Jesus Christ. We do not find salvation anywhere else but in Jesus Christ. And we need to be in Him to find it. We need to be of Him. We need to be abiding in Him, as Jesus said in John chapter 15. My friend, do you know Him today? Do you know this Savior of the world? For God so loved mankind that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't depend on anything or anyone for salvation, not even yourself. You must depend on Jesus. You must trust in Jesus, for there is no other way to be saved other than in Jesus Christ. Our prayer here at Tri-State Gospel is that you know Him as your